Time now to catch up with Jeff from Acela Wine. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all our listeners.
And what's happening in the wonderful world of wine, mate?
Well, you know, it's chilly last night, Peter.
Yes.
Yes, needed the woolies on. It's nice today. It's going to be it's a little bit of high mist this morning, but she'll burn off and be warm. Quite warm yesterday here, Peter. Warm enough to actually cause a bug hatching.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's unusual, but
so
anyway.
So that's a bit of a problem, isn't it?
Well, it is. It wasn't bugs for the vineyard or anything.
Thank God for that.
No, we're in balance in the vineyard, Peter. People often ask me, how come, you know, you can't spray poisons for the bugs? How come, you know, what do you do? And I said, we don't have any bugs. And they said, everybody has bugs. And I said, no, we don't. If you don't spray and kill anything, it comes into balance at a very, very low rate.
Yes, only thing you have is buggers, not bugs.
Yeah, so... We call them beneficials here, Peter. So I ask people, you know, you go out into your backyard. Are you swarmed by bugs? Are they eating your trees and everything that you've got in the garden? No, they say. And I say, well, that's because you're in balance. Once you start to spray, but you're on a slippery slope because you kill everything, including the predator bugs.
Yeah.
The thing that happens, Peter, is that feed bugs, which are bugs that predator bugs eat, breed in the millions, whereas predator bugs breed only in the few or the, you know, one at a time or half a dozen. And I'm talking about killer wasps, hoverflies, praying mantises, ladybugs, and all those type of ladybugs. You can have a swarm of ladybugs for sure. All those predator bugs, you know, breed only sparsely compared to a feed bug.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I have a very dear friend here, has a non-organic wine vineyard who sprays all the time. And she said, yeah, but I don't have any predator bugs. And I said, well, you know, while you're spraying all those bugs you think are a problem, guess what's happening to the predator bugs?
Yeah.
They're getting killed the same way. Excuse me.
Terrible.
And
so
it takes a little while to come into balance. But when it does, when we purchased this vineyard, I know there was a little bit of shenanigans going on here because there were a huge amount of spider webs. And there were hundreds of frill-neck lizards and all sorts of other things. So I thought to myself, well, that's weird. Maybe that's what happens with an organic vineyard. And within a year, Peter, there were no spider webs, and we used to see like 5 or 6, maybe 10 frill neck lizards a day. And this is a big property, 160 acres. And probably had a couple of hundred in here. And within 2 years, Peter, we're down to seeing one frill neck lizard about every other week. And you know why? There was nothing to eat. They moved somewhere else where there was something to eat.
That's right.
Once you get the property into balance, that balance is at a very low level, and predators got to work for their meal.
And they don't like that.
No, they move somewhere where people are spraying. And, you know, within a week or a few days of spraying, there are millions of bugs. So, anyway, that's the story. Talking about bugs... did you read in the paper? And of course, we brought it to our public about 3 or 4 weeks ago. We did a show on the sting of the honeybee.
I noticed that.
Yes, and it's made the press now. But you and I were weeks ahead, Peter, because we read the actual research abstracts.
Right.
And so we get our topics from there. It's very good news for. And would just to briefly do it, because we did cover it, as I said, a month ago, that this is triple negative cancer, which is one that's very deadly. No real therapy that works too much and takes the lives of lots of people, including young, quite young people, triple negative breast cancer. And this is very effective, Peter. It kills the cancer cells almost instantaneously. The sting from the honeybee. And yeah, so that's very good news. It's it makes you wonder, Peter, that if you do have this, you should get a beehive and get a sting once or twice a week, you know, a couple of times a week. I would, you know, visit somebody that has aviaries, you know, to walk around in there. I don't say go around there and irritate the whole bunch of hives, you know.
Yeah, you can just imagine those people walking in going, ouch, 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 ouch.
You might get an overdose of medicine, Peter, but yeah, it's really good. And it's very effective. And here's the good part about it. I came out of the University of Western Australia, this research, PhD student. The very good part about it is that they've identified.
I see.
They have identified which part of the venom is doing the work, and they've been able to reproduce it artificially, Peter.
Oh, that's good.
It is. So the poor old honeybee is probably fairly safe.
Yeah, that's true. But at least they've opened the door. They've shown us the way.
Exactly. But it won't be on the market for a long time. And unfortunately, this form of cancer is a very, very aggressive, Peter, and it takes people's lives very quickly. So hopefully they'll rush this through. It's a natural product. So, you know, people, and there are people, of course, that die from bee stings, but it's a rare disease, and those people, of course, die from anaphylactic shock. They have to carry, I'm not sure if it's a puff or an injection, I think, in case they get stung by bees. That was great, Peter. Great news and great for Australia and Australian research.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there was another interesting research while we're talking about research before we get on to our usual topic of the old coronavirus. It's sleeping is bad for you. Look, Spain and Greece and all these Mexico, all these Mediterranean countries that close down for 2 or 3 hours in the middle of the day to go home and have a rest, have a sleep.
The Mexicans do that. They have a siesta in the afternoon.
So do the Greeks and the Spanish. Spain was trying to stop it because they said they're falling behind the rest of the European economies, because in the busiest part of the day, they shut up shop and go home and have a sleep.
I think it's, well, you feed any animal. Like if I feed my girl at lunchtime, right, she'll go back outside, find somewhere nice, and go to sleep for a while.
Yeah, we'll have to do some research on it, Peter. Mm-hmm. This is an article came out of, let me just have a look, came from the European Society of Cardiology, this article. It was published on the 26th, and they found that if you can have a cat nap, and to coin a phrase, Peter,
look out, Spike.
Or power nap. We used to call it after skiing, you know, in Canada we used to go up skiing, and then you come back from skiing, and all that exercise, you sit down for 20 minutes, and then you get up, and you have a hot tub, and you're ready to go out for the night. But when we called it there a power nap. But they found that if you go and have a nap that lasts for an hour, Peter, the risks associated with all causes of death are 30% higher than people that don't sleep, okay, in the afternoon, and 34% higher for cardiovascular diseases if you have a sleep in the afternoon. So no more sleeping in the afternoon, Peter.
Dear idea.
Okay, you're increasing your likelihood of death quite considerably. So you can have a power nap, fall asleep on the bus, Peter, or do whatever you're doing, but none of this concerted close the blinds, go in, get into bed, and, you know, off you go. So can't do it anymore, Peter.
Oh, well, done. We'll have to have a glass of wine instead.
That's a good choice. Yeah, thank but you. The trouble is, you have a glass of wine or two of you, it will be an hour's nap, Peter.
Yeah. Oh, well, there was method in my madness, of course.
Yeah. So anyway, Peter, here we are. Now the idiot running Victoria has decided not to have a state of emergency for 18 months, but just for 6 months. Next week, it'll be for 2 months. And the Prime Minister, of course, he's trying to get the states to agree that they can't close the borders arbitrarily like they're doing. It seems like a very loose Commonwealth of Australia when you can just shut areas of it off arbitrarily. Local governments can. But anyway, I think that should be federal. Federal people, though I don't know that they're any more competent than state people, they've at least demonstrated generally their incompetence for a longer period of time, Peter, to get to the federal political levels. So,
well, don't you think it would make a lot of sense if we had one body deciding, not there and everywhere?
Yeah, definitely when you get rat bags like that Premier of Queensland. Did you see in the paper yesterday that they're not going to allow school children, like people who live in northern New South Wales, send their farmers, I'm talking about now, rural people, send their children to city schools in Queensland.
Yep.
Not going to allow them to come home for holidays, Peter. You did. What I was saying, Peter, is that the Premier of Queensland is not going to allow those school students to come home for the holidays to their farms, to their family in northern New South Wales. Can you ever think of something so ridiculous that a student that's in a city school in Queensland, you know, is going to be at risk in a remote, isolated property in northern New South Wales somewhere?
I don't understand that.
To catch coronavirus and bring it back to Queensland? Isn't that the most insane, stupid thing you've ever heard? When all of New South Wales has about 10 cases and Queensland has about the same, maybe a little bit less at the moment. But she's a rat bag. She should be defeated. And I think because she's treating the tourism industry up there so poorly that they will amass enough support to get her thrown out, either internally in the party or, defeated at the polls. But she should be. No perception, no broader understanding, Peter. Even our premier is loosening the border restrictions, which it never should have been. I mean, look, honest God, Peter, cities like Albury, Wodonga, half the people live in that work in Albury live in Wodonga and vice versa.
That's,
you know what I mean?
They
It's one city. And you can't go to work, you can't go shopping, you can't do anything. And you live right on the border. She now is allowing border zones, which a person with an ounce of common sense would have done right from the start. You know? You give a 20-kilometer or 50-kilometer zone of people that live in those areas, and you say that's where you stay. You know, you can go backwards and forwards, do whatever the heck you want. It's just so stupid what they do, Peter. They think there's nothing in the world except like for New South Wales, Sydney, or in Victoria, Melbourne. That's all they think of. You know, they don't think there's anybody else living in the country, Peter.
Oh, well, sooner or later, I guess they'll wake up.
Yeah, see, Europe's back in real mess over there. Spain's back up to 7,000-8,000 cases a day, Peter. That's the summer vacation. You know, Europe shuts down in July, August for annual vacation. And I saw some pictures of some of the hotspots, vacation hotspots I'm talking about.
Oh.
You know, people jammed in there like sardines.
I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah, so they're in a bit of trouble there. France is up around 4,000 or 5,000 people as well. And England and Germany, still got it under control. Sweden, of course, has always been more or less under control. The Scandinavian countries have got it under control. Germany's And Italy are around 1,000 cases. So is the UK, a little bit higher. So they're, you know, they're sort of tracking and tracing and, you know, trying to get on top of it. But, you know, they don't, they're not like Australia. They don't go berserk when they get a few cases here and there. Like this woman in Queensland, you get 4 cases and she goes bananas, you know. So I'll bet
is that why bananas are banned? I wonder.
Yeah, so anyway, I see China's still trying to bully everybody, Peter.
Yeah, you know, bullies don't get anywhere.
Yeah, it's, you know, now they've cut the barley completely from one of the countries. They've elected an elected. Jeez, maybe they should elect her, Peter. They've arrested an Australian, a journalist who is an Australian citizen as well, apparently. And it's just all, see, when they had the fight with Canada, they arrested a bunch of Canadians on trumped up charges.
Yeah.
They did the same to a U.S. Citizen. And they say, look, you know, let's arrest them for spying or for agitating or for, you know, spitting on the sidewalk or something. You know, it's a disgusting way for a country to behave, to be honest.
Manipulative tactics.
Yeah, geez, you know, it's like, you know, school children, you know, pulling the little girl sits in front's pigtails because you don't like her or she doesn't like you, which is worse still.
You know? Dear,
you know, that's about how they behave, Peter.
Yeah.
So anyway, what can you do? You can't do much. We got to, and China may be helping countries like Australia to wean themselves from China. You know, I noticed that we talked about this before. India stepped in and bought the barley that China refused to take, and they have as big a population as China does almost. So, you know, I think they're an emerging economy, and I think the country should get in there and try and foster a relationship. Very, very industrious people, Peter, when they have the opportunity, which of course they don't all have in India. But when I did grad school, when I did my doctorate in Canada, there were 43 students in the graduate department at the University of British Columbia in Canada, and only 4 Canadian, white Canadians and myself were the only. And most were Indian and Pakistani at that time, but they were from all over the world. And they were all on Canadian government scholarships, as I was. And it wasn't until the government decided that you had to be a legal resident or a Canadian citizen to get a government scholarship that changed, Peter. Most of the graduate schools in Canada at that time had foreign students.
What's China doing? Do as we say, or we'll chuck a tantrum.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it's coming over.
It is. And, you know, that's why India's got satellites, and that's why India's got nuclear weapons, and that's why they're industrious and very intelligent people when they have the opportunity.
And their food's good, too.
I can't eat curry, although...
Oh, some of their curries are really nice.
Yeah, turmeric or curry's got curcumin, however you pronounce it, in it, which is very good for you. But it's supposed to lower your blood pressure—not your blood pressure, your iron count, Peter. If you eat curry and turmeric in particular, and so curcumin, I don't know how you pronounce it, but
anyway, one of them. Yeah,
it's one of them. Yeah. So it lowers your iron count. I had to give it up, Peter, because I had low iron. So
yeah, well, mine was a real brilliant. I think I'm heading for another iron infusion, but never mind. Mate, we've got to get people to get this beautiful.
Yeah, we're going to talk a bit more about organics. Maybe we'll do it next week, Peter, because the benefits of organics. We talked briefly about having no bugs if you don't go around spraying things. But, of course, if you don't go around spraying things, you end up with wines that have no chemicals in them, Peter, have wines that have 50 to 100% more nutrition, more antioxidants in them, Peter. And, of course, you end up with no headache. So, well, very rare to get a headache from organic wine because it has no endocrine disruptors in it.
That's right, and it's very easy, too, for people to get yours.
It is. You go online.
Not the headaches, the wine.
Yeah, sellerwines.com.au, or call us here at the venue. Come and see us. We were busy as heck last Saturday. Again, Peter, Saturday before. Still lots of families, Peter, lots of kids, lots of cabin fever out there still. So, yeah, there's a big area here for the kids to run around, chase the – well, they don't go chase the sheep, but they look at the sheep. And
chase Buddy.
They chase Buddy. We have a new game, find the cat.
Oh, Buddy would play, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's funny. He beats everybody, goes up to the car and greets them, except if they don't like the dog or they're scared because he's pretty big now. But by 2 o'clock, he's laying flat out somewhere on the grass. And when people arrive, if he opens one eye, it's amazing. So he's the consummate watchdog, Peter. That's all he does.
Oh, dear.
He
oh,
just
dear.
Watches.
Your website, sir?
Yeah, sellerwines.com.au. Yeah, mix and match, free delivery Australia-wide, Peter, down to a 9-pack.
All right, bud.
All right, bud.
We'll catch up with you again next week.
Yeah, sounds good, mate.
All right, mate. Cheers.